Let's turn back then to 1 Samuel chapter 22. We've already read the whole chapter. Now, this is David's psalm of praise and thanksgiving after God had delivered him from all of his enemies. We find this also, this same psalm, in Psalm 18. You might say it was the second edition. David made a few changes in that edition. Now, our text is this. It's verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Thou art my lamp, O Lord. In other words, a burning light. And David says, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Lighten means to illuminate. The Lord, declares David, the Lord is his lamp, his burning light to illuminate, to light up, to bring light to David's darkness. Now, in the scriptures, light is often illustrative of repentance and the saving knowledge of Christ shined into the heart of a sinner by the Holy Ghost. Light often comprehends spiritual knowledge and discernment in the heart of the believer as well, that is, by the Word and by the Spirit of the Lord. Very often, light comprehends spiritual life. In the Scriptures, light very often has reference to holiness. In fact, most often, whatever else is in view, holiness is also indicated. And of course, as you consider then light and what I've just spoken of light, then also light has reference by extension to assurance and hope and happiness and so forth. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. And of course, John 1, the verse 4, speaking of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, darkness in the scriptures is illustrative of and comprehends often the state of the dead, unregenerate heart, filled with spiritual ignorance, blindness, and corruption. A few verses. Ephesians 4, the verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Darkened, obscured in their heart. They have this ignorance. They have this spiritual ignorance, this lack of a saving knowledge of God, and no ability to discern spiritual things. As we speak of fallen men and women, fallen children of Adam. Romans 1, the verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Ever more darkened, ever more obscured, as men and women draw away from what can be known of God and go their own way. John 1, the verse 5, following up on what I read earlier, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This speaks of the spiritual ignorance and spiritual deadness and blindness of unregenerate men, and of course their pride, and they're turning away from the light of the gospel, the light of Christ. About unbelieving Jews, 2 Corinthians 3, the verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. You remember when we went through that chapter? It's a wonderful chapter. And this can be said about every unregenerate heart, that there's a veil over that heart, obscuring the truth as it is in Jesus. And there is a stubbornness, a pride that keeps men and women from turning to the Lord. There's a depravity and there's a helplessness. And fallen sinners just naturally do not receive the truth as it is in Jesus. Not on their own. Not by a simple exercise of their intellect. As we speak of darkness and what it comprehends in the Scriptures, it often comprehends pride. The pride and wickedness of this world, of worldlings. Isaiah 60, the verse 2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Speaking of the Lord's people, the church. But there you see a spiritual ignorance and blindness all around the world. And of course, as you think of this darkness, it has that inevitable wickedness that always goes with it. And darkness comprehends that. Proverbs 4, the verse 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." John 3, the verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Darkness, they love darkness. They love spiritual ignorance and wicked sinfulness. Darkness in the Scriptures comprehends the works and the power of Satan. When Paul was in front of King Agrippa and he rehearsed that appearing of Christ to him on the road to Damascus, and then the commission Christ gave to Paul, he included this with regard to Paul, of course, was to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to open their eyes, Acts 26 to verse 18, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6, the verse 12, I say, darkness comprehends often the works and power of Satan. I just read verse 18 from chapter 26 of Acts, speaking of darkness as opposed to light, and of course, the power of Satan. Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Speaking of Satan and all of his host. The rulers of the darkness of this world. In the Word of God, darkness often comprehends misery and gloom. Days of darkness for those who live and die with unregenerate dark hearts. Days of darkness are coming. Young people, children, and people in the bloom of health, full flush of adulthood and healthy and hearty, loving the world and everything that's in it. They think it'll go on like this, but it won't. Ecclesiastes 12, the verses 1 and 2. Again, this is something we looked at a few Sundays ago. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light, the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." And the clouds come back closer and closer together as the unregenerate sinner ages. If he lives to be very old, he'll get to the point often where the clouds always return after the rain immediately, very little light left, if any. Darkness in the Scriptures also comprehends often death, an eternal death in hell. I say the death of those who are not in Christ and eternal death in hell. Ecclesiastes Estes 11, the verse 8, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. They'll be many, they'll be eternal. All that cometh is vanity. And of course, Jesus told the parable of the unprofitable servant, the false minister of Christ, and he said, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. He speaks of when that servant stands before the Lord. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So speaking there of hell, outer darkness, hell. Now the condition of fallen man, of course, is this, that all human beings are born as children of spiritual darkness, full of spiritual darkness, dead in trespasses and sins, totally depraved. By totally depraved, we mean that the fall has corrupted man in all of his faculties. There is nothing about a man or a woman, a child, any that are still children of Adam, which has not been corrupted, thoroughly corrupted by the fall. Now, the best case possible concerning Adam's fallen children, this is apart from conversion to Christ, is that that man or that woman, though living, of course, in sin and spiritual ignorance and blindness, spiritually dead, unable to discern spiritual things, nevertheless lives in a family, is born into a family, perhaps, and certainly into a nation that is at least well savored by Christian influences, by evangelical light. And so that person is, by the restraining grace of God, perhaps held back, not always, but this is the best case possible, held back from plunging into utter heathen depravity and cruelty. Perhaps he or she may even live his or her life out with a good measure of integrity and honesty, decency, and accomplish many good things. There is a light that has come into the world which lighteth every man. That's Christ Jesus. And all that the light we have in this world is because Christ Jesus came. You know the condition of the world before he came and where the world was headed. A great light came. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and then his church. But such a one, as I call the best case among fallen men, still lives and dies without God and without hope, child of wrath, inherits eternal wrath and death in that fiery place of constant, everlasting misery and punishment, which is called the lake of fire in the scriptures. Now, of course, the worst case, if you want to simply have a summation of the worst case, you can just go to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And of course, this is the inevitable end of all men and women and societies and cultures and tribes and nations and people that turn away from the truth that can be known about God, reject him and make their own truth. And so such men and women with their dark hearts live and die like a depraved beast. And you don't have to be in a culture that's turned away and come to that stage. You can be in a country such as this and fall to that place, rush into that place, really. And so live and die like a depraved beast. But unlike the beasts, then suffer the just consequences of sins committed and face and suffer the fury of God's just wrath in the outer darkness and fiery torments of eternal death in hell. In hell, there are literal flames, which even now, those who have died without Christ are suffering in. And for all eternity, after the resurrection, that day of the Lord, those flames will not only sear the souls of those committed to hell, but also the bodies of the condemned. And there are literal worms that will gnaw upon those same loathsome, unperfected, unglorified bodies. All that are in hell are also tormented. It's not just their body, but they're tormented, I say not just their body, by literal flames and literal worms, but they are tormented in outer darkness by the searing flames of conscience and remorse and hopelessness. I say they are tormented by these searing flames of conviction and the gnawing worm of conscience, as God's wrath, as God's cup of wrath even, is eternally at their lips. And they drink of that cup forever, unable to ever empty it, unable to ever satisfy the perfect justice of God or propitiate his wrath, since their suffering and their eternal death has no merit whatsoever. No merit whatsoever, let alone merit sufficient to atone for their sins and their lack of perfect obedience. But before that long night of eternity begins, for those who die without Christ, they'll be taken from hell if they've already died, or on that day, if they haven't already died, they'll still stand before God with those who have, and they'll face the wrath of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of the Lord, which will be a day of light and glory, of unspeakable gladness and rejoicing for the Lord's people. Not so for the unsaved. Zephaniah 1, the verse 15, we can most definitely make an application of this to the day of the Lord. Whatever else we see, if you will, a lesser application, we can make this application to the day of the Lord. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Amos 5, the verse 20, another verse we can make an application to the day of the Lord and ought to. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light for the sinner? For those who whiled away their days in this life without doing the thing that really mattered and essential to their eternal happiness, peace and joy, seeking the Lord while he may be found. Diligently, sincerely seeking the Lord, praying for faith, saving faith and new life. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Revelation 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever on that great day was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Looking ahead to that. With God, all things that he says will happen will infallibly happen. And that's why we sometimes find things written as if they have already happened. Ezekiel 18, the verse 31 says this, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. Well, you can't make a new heart or a new spirit yourself. But you see, you disown your sins. You confess your sins. You learn to hate these things that will throw you into hell. And you set about to have the Lord give you a new heart, a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? We could ask that over and over, couldn't we? As we look around us at those who are rejecting Christ, not seeking the Lord while he may be found, not looking unto him. For why will ye die? Die eternally in this outer darkness, in these flames. Why? Why? God in his infinite mercy has provided a savior of sinners. He has provided a substitute for you, a surety. If you will look unto him and seek to be saved and continue to seek to be saved and be sincere in this and continue to give him no rest, to continue to pray and ask him to save your soul. Our text is this, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Now, before I speak more of David's happy situation, we should consider how he came to this place, this state and condition, and of course, the New Testament Christian even more so. Who has more light than the New Testament Christian? "Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." The New Testament Christian in gospel times has the most light there'll ever be for any man or any woman in the course of this world. Genesis 1, the verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Here's the holy, omnipotent, commanding, creating power of God on full display. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Without light, there's no life, there's no warmth, there's no growth, there's no fruit. "Let there be light," and there was light. And then he created the entire natural creation, everything that you see, the heavens and the earth and all that are in them, including the whole race of mankind. He created man by his own word, and the whole creation by his own word in 6 24-hour days, 6 literal days. That same omnipotent power is displayed and exercised by God in the speaking into existence of the whole natural creation. I say that same omnipotent power displayed and exercised by God as he spoke into existence, the whole natural creation is exercised by him in mercy and love and by free grace in the making of new creatures out of fallen, spiritually dead, blind, helpless, sinful children of Adam sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. "Let there be light," and there was light. Seek the Lord for him to create this light in your heart. It is nothing for God to do this, but you must seek it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This speaks of the saving, justifying knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the gospel effectually shined by the Holy Spirit into the dead, dark heart of a sinner. It speaks of this light banishing the darkness and illuminating the sinner's heart with a justifying, saving, experiential knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. It speaks of working true repentance and faith in a sinner's heart, of quickening then that dead man to life, and the calling forth of a cold, dead sinner out of the tomb of unbelief and spiritual darkness into the light of life and a life of grace and glory. You know that one of my favorite verses is when Jesus said this, John 5, the verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Maybe it's one of my favorites because I heard that voice as a dead man, and now I live. John 12, the verse 46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that in your head. You need it in your heart. God will put it in your hearts. Seek the Lord for this great, wonderful calling to life of your own dead heart and making you a new creature. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Ye must be born again. 1 Peter 1, the verse 23 says, "Being born again of the Christian, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God." That's the seed. That's the seed sown in the heart that springs forth into spiritual, eternal life, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1, the verse 18, "Of his own will," not the will of man, not the will of sinners, "his own omnipotent sovereign will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so we see the Holy Spirit effectually working repentance and faith and applying then the death and resurrection of Christ to the sinner's heart. And we see then the dead man is brought to life and regenerated as a new creature, delivered from spiritual darkness and condemnation, the dominion of sin, and the power of Satan. You see, what comes forth is a regenerated, justified, sanctified, adopted child of God, a new man, a new woman, a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away, not, quote, Christianized in some way, passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Colossians 3, the verse 10 speaks of this. As we speak of light, light and life, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. This is the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Holy Spirit effectually working in the heart by the word of God, the gospel, and then creating a true spiritual, experiential knowledge of Christ and renewing the sinner in the image of Christ Jesus, a work that will be perfected when we leave this world to be forever with the Lord. And then our bodies also raised up and glorified as he is, so we will be. 2 Corinthians 3, the verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What is that glass? It's the doctrines of Christ we have in the scriptures. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Peter 2, the verse 9. These thrilling words, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that is a purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're to show forth his praises. Do we show forth his praises? I hope that we do more and more so. Not just on the Lord's Day. Colossians 1, the verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, 1 John 1, the verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is light. Perfect, immutable righteousness, wisdom, knowledge, love, justice, pure, immutable holiness in all his person and in all his words and works and ways. God is light. In him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. The children of God are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5, the verse 5, ye are all the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Now, as we speak of light and all that it comprehends, well, we know that we're not perfected in holiness yet, but we're to follow after holiness. We know that we don't have perfect light, a full, perfect spiritual knowledge of everything we should have, and a perfect discernment and perfect heavenly wisdom. But we quench the Spirit too often. And so we have less than we ought to have. And we don't go forward in this and have more light, more heavenly light from above. Yes, we're being perfected by the Holy Spirit, by the Word. God help us not to interfere with the work. Ephesians 5, the verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. With what light comprehends, we know we ought to then follow after holiness, walking after the Spirit, minding the things of the Spirit, always seeking more spiritual illumination by the Word of God, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, none. And being a separated people, the light of the world, walking in the light of the Lord's countenance and his word. Ye are the light of the world, Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We need to pray. We need to pray. The light will break out in the Lord's church. The light of the world, there's so much darkness in the church. We ought to pray every day. God would revive his church, that light would break out from on high. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Our text is this: for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. And we are to be a lamp in the world and lighten that darkness. But there's so much darkness within the church. And when there's darkness within the church, how great is that darkness? When the supposed light within the church is darkness and shadows, how great is that darkness then? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We are painfully aware, I assume we all are, I am, that we still have a sin nature. Painfully aware. We have that remnant of remaining darkness in our heart. There's nothing light about sin or our sin nature. And we walk through this dark world with its many seductions and temptations and enticements. Ephesians 6, verse 15, comes from another passage that I was going to say I preached on not that long ago, but time flies. But this, as far as one of the pieces of our spiritual armor, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, that we have that understanding of gospel doctrine. And we walk through this world, and the picture there is our feet shod with this understanding, this true spiritual understanding and experiential understanding of the doctrines of the gospel. So we're prepared to be out in the world. And we can walk through this world safely as we're shod, our feet are shod with an understanding of the doctrines of the gospel and the doctrines of Christ. 1 John 1, the verse 7, encourages us also, because we live in a dark world and we have a sin nature yet. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that encourages us, but we dare not look at just the last part. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, if we walk in the light. The Christian can't walk, go off the path of light, which the Lord marks out with his word, and go off and walk the ways of the world and walk in the darkness. He's not going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus until he repents and comes back into the old paths. Where is the good way? Psalm 56, the verse 13, is very encouraging. David says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Yes, there's an application here to eternal life. There is an immediate application, and then there's an application to eternal life, to spiritual life, to living in this world as a spiritual man. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? Yes, he will, that I may walk before God in the light of the living, with God rejoicing in his child. We have a powerful, unseen, but often felt adversary as well, as we speak of light and darkness. In our life in this world, we have that adversary, the prince of darkness, the devil, who is so full of malignant hatred toward the Lord's people and all that's holy and just and good. And there are deceivers and seducers and corrupters and compromisers. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, which have crept in among the Lord's blood-bought flock. You would think there was nothing in the Bible about wolves in sheep's clothing and creeping in among the Lord's people. And they've come in to plant the leaven of error and disobedience and to mingle light with darkness. Satan is the one who is so adept at mingling light with darkness and even of counterfeiting darkness as light. And of course, these wolves in sheep's clothing do his work, don't they? So we have all this that's against us, but we have God our Father. He is our Father. We have God as our Father. We have Christ Jesus as our prophet, our priest, and our king. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit as our teacher, our comforter, and our guide. And we have the inspired, inerrantly preserved Word of God, unless we're using a corrupted version of the Bible. Yes, including the ESV or the New King James. We have the inerrantly preserved scriptures, and in those scriptures we have all the precious promises of God in Christ, including this and all that it comprehends. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Now, certainly our text comprehends also the ongoing sanctification of the Christian, including a growing holiness, as well as a growth in knowledge and wisdom and discernment. I'm talking about, with regard to knowledge and wisdom and discernment, I'm talking about spiritual heavenly light which the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in the regenerated heart by the Word of God. Jesus said of you and me, if we're in Christ, and all his people, sanctify them. He prayed for us as our great high priest. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so, in this we find spiritual safety and growth in spiritual maturity, and faithfulness and fruitfulness and joy and gladness and peace and assurance. In this, walking in the light of God's word and the light of his countenance as his beloved children, and having that experiential knowledge of the Lord and the blessings of a child of God. I already recited it for you. I'll do it again. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. A lamp, a burning light, a bright burning light. Lighten my darkness. Enlighten, illuminate my darkness, whatever darkness we may have. More and more light, less and less darkness. I say whatever darkness, in regard to the understanding of the Word of God, the darkness that might come into our life with different situations we have to face, whatever it is, thou wilt lighten my darkness. That's a promise. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. More light, more light, more light in our souls. More and more. Less darkness, less misunderstanding, less ignorance, and mortifying the sin nature. Colossians 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, redemption. In Colossians 2, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as we speak of light, as we speak of the Lord being our lamp, and the Lord will lighten my darkness, David says. We have to read our Bibles. We have to study our Bibles. We have to apply ourselves to the preaching of the Word of God. We have to receive light when it's brought to us and shown to us from the Scriptures. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ working effectually in the heart of the believer, this speaks of, with the Word. and enlightening him and also enlightening his way, the right way to walk, the way of the Lord that he would have us walk, giving us direction and discernment, the old paths wherein is the good way, lightening our way, lightening and marking it out. Psalm 119, the verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, the verse 30, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 97, the verse 11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. The more light we have of Christ, of God our Father, of Christ Jesus our Savior, of the workings of the Holy Spirit, of the doctrines of God, of all the great doings of God in the Bible over all the centuries, the more light we have of heaven, the more gladness we'll have in our hearts. Don't reject the light. Don't neglect the light. Exodus 13, verse 21, speaking of Israel, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. The Lord is always with us. The Lord is our lamp. The Lord will lighten our darkness. The Lord goes before us to mark out our path. It is a shining path of light. And so we think of Proverbs 4, the verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And of course, as we think of our text and the lamp that God is to the believer and lightening our darkness, we think of the Holy Spirit teaching us through experience. I want to be careful with that, but it's experience defined, judged, and illuminated by the Word of God. And so this book that we read, these scriptures, they're not dead scriptures to us. We're living the things that God has promised here. And when we depart from them, the things that happen, the fruit of that is warned of in here. And so there is an experience involved, but it's always defined and illuminated by the Word of God, and we learn from that experience, the Holy Spirit teaching us. Isaiah 30, the verse 21, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. The Holy Spirit guiding us by the Word applied. And I would give a fair warning then, and a fair warning must be given to those among the Lord's people who are stubborn and prideful, those who will not seek and receive more light from the Word of God. When that light is clearly shed by the Scriptures upon erroneous understandings or doctrines that they hold, I would warn them. And I would warn those all who refuse to walk ever more faithfully in the light of the Lord, those who will not submit to sound scriptural teaching and legitimate church government. There are those who, I'm not changing. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care how thoroughly it's proved from the Scriptures. I'll shut my ears up when it starts to be proven. Those people are in danger. They need to be warned that they insult the Holy Spirit, the teacher, and they insult the Lord Jesus Christ in all his offices of prophet and priest and king. It's a very serious thing. It's important to warn. Also, by way of warning, guard your hearts against the prince of darkness, against that subtle serpent who is so full of craft and deception, against Satan, who masquerades as an angel of light, and his ministers, of course, disguised as ministers of righteousness, then counterfeiting light and mixing light with darkness. These days there are a great many corruptors, seducers, deceivers with good words and fair speeches. They're wearing the mantle of evangelical ministers, ministers of Christ. They are, though, of those described in Proverbs 2, the verse 13, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. I recently read a newsletter from the largest evangelical church in town. Now, you know the church. It's rock and roll. It's full of worldliness. And piercings are all right, and tattoos, and immodest dress. I read the words of one of the songs that they recently sang. What was it? Revolution, pollution, and one other thing which I cannot think of. Some of you are thinking of it right now. They have, for those that don't want to just sit and listen to a sermon, you can go into the cafe and drink coffee and chat while the sermon's piped in. Apparently, they have Lectio Divina going on. They're wildly ecumenical. They use modern Bible translations, and we can go on and on. But I read a message from that minister in the newsletter, and I want to read to you, keeping in mind what that church is like, what that minister is like, I want to read to you an excerpt of that letter, as I warn that those who serve the devil wearing the mantle of an evangelical minister become very adroit at counterfeiting darkness as light. Here is that excerpt. The point in 2 Peter 3, the verse 18, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, is having our guards up and being diligent against being carried away by the teaching and example of those who live according to the principles of this world, a world that is destined for destruction. Isn't it the relationship with Jesus that causes the lure of this world to lose its strength? When we focus on a personal relationship with Jesus, our spiritual lives won't be reduced to externally following a code of conduct. That focus won't result in throwing the doors open to worldly things either. How great a darkness is the light that's in that church. It's just darkness. I think of 2 Peter 2, the verse 15. I have no problem applying this to ministers like that, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Our text is this: For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. This text, as I make one last application, most certainly does have application to comfort in troublous times, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 18, the verse 28, For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm 23, the verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is the God of all comfort, and God is our lamp that will take us through hard times, dark times, times when it's a dark night of the soul even. I would, in closing, remind all of us with everything I've said, don't judge the Word of God by your experience. Judge your experience by the Word of God. You say, oh, here are all these promises, but I don't experience that. Then you're either not in Christ or you're quenching the Spirit, as we all do sometimes, and you're very immature. So never, ever judge the Word of God by your experience. Judge your experience by the Word of God always. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. I want to just close by urging those not in Christ, those who are not in Christ, to consider and contemplate and compare what I briefly preached on from the Scriptures concerning the life and eternity of an unregenerate child of darkness and death as compared to a born-again child of light and life, grace, and glory. Compare. Consider what you've heard. Compare and contemplate. And now what will you do? And I want to also encourage and urge all of us in Christ to do the same thing. I say to contemplate this life and eternity of those that are not in Christ, children of darkness, and the eternity of darkness and torment they face, as opposed to what we have as children of light and life, of grace and glory. We ought to muse on those things, contemplate those things, compare what we would have had to what we do have, promised, infallibly promised to us, what we have now and what we will have. We ought to spend some time thinking about that often. Because the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, that know, savingly know, the gospel and all the promises of God in Christ. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Amen.